Welcome to Summer First Experience. In this show, we'll be covering everything a new entrepreneur needs to know to set up their business and how you can grow and scale your business in the shortest possible time. If you have a question in mind, go to salmonfirstsea.co/ask and submit your question. We might answer it in the next episode. Let's begin our today's episode. Today we're going to talk about leadership, emotional intelligence, and the connection between those two. Zane is a leadership and communication expert based in Berlin and working internationally. Via his workshop and trainings, he provides teams and leaders with right communication and leadership skills to thrive in increasingly dynamic markets, to face their frequent and disruptive changes, and to increase their capability of generating value. Through his career, he has led seven-figure businesses and policy projects, and he now combines that experience with other areas of work to develop skills in teams and individuals. Today, our guest is Edoardo Bindezane. How are you? Actually, I'm a bit of nervous. I don't know why.
No, don't be nervous. I'm good. Don't worry about that. Well, thank you for having me on the show. Thank you so much. Kudos to you for getting my name right. Probably countless variations of how my name is pronounced, so it's refreshing to hear someone getting it. So thank you. I'm great. How's it going with you?
It's going great. Tell us a bit about yourself for a listener who don't know about you. How did you start it? How did you got to where you are today?
Well, I'm a leadership and communication trainer and consultant based in Berlin, working here and, of course, remotely around the world. And I started from a very different perspective, i.e. I used to be a consultant, and I was actually pretty good at the job. I started to be a consultant, a policy consultant specifically. I was quite high up in the ranks. I was good at my job, a good project manager, but at some point, a few things came in and I thought it was the right moment and the right time to quit and change career. Basically, I felt like my job wasn't giving me what I hoped it was going to give me. Though I was good at what I was doing, I didn't see any actual impact of the job I was doing. So even though I was pushing the agenda of renewable energy and environment, I didn't see many of those changes happening. And just the environment in which I was just quite frustrating. So it was a bit of a jump in the dark or a jump in cold water, frame it as you wish. And I decided to quit. And then it was just me fending for myself, basically, until now.
Okay, great. What is your definition of leadership?
The definition of leadership. That's a quite direct question. I haven't thought about it, but I would say managing to find the reason for which people in your team should be the center point of your attention. It's not about getting results done. It's not about reaching your goals. Sure, those are results you should achieve, you should aim at. But I think real leadership is figuring out that the best way to get to those results is via the people that work with you. And if you manage to reach a result by focusing on who's working with you, earning their trust, motivating them, seeing for who they are and helping them develop, then results will come as a byproduct. That is, for me, real leadership.
Okay. That's a great definition. So where does leadership start?
Where does leadership start? I'm guessing with self-awareness, because at some point, the usual way to go is you are an employee. I don't like that term, but let's stick to it for clarity's sake. You start as an employee and you keep on developing your skills onto executing tasks and being technical on whatever area you're working on. And then at some point, you get bumped up to a leadership position, actually to a management position. And all of a sudden, your skills, everything you've done, are not enough anymore, because all of a sudden you're not managing tasks or just tasks anymore, you're managing people. So for me, leadership starts the moment you become aware of the fact that you need a different set of skills. You need to communicate, you need to empathize, you need to interact, you need to develop others. That's when you get that click, when you realize that that is something you need to do and that is part of your job, that's when you shift from a manager to a leader. Of course, being a successful leader is a whole different discussion, but that's part of it.
What's the difference between leadership and management?
Well, how much time do you have for an answer? Well, the difference between leadership and management. Well, management is mainly a defined role. So in a simplified pyramid hierarchy, at some point you shift floor, so to say, and you become a manager. You manage others. You manage tasks. You don't just do things, but you have other people to manage, to deal with, and so on. And making sure that they do their job well and they are respectful and they are on time and controlling them is part of the job of a manager. Being a leader is a step ahead. Doesn't necessarily mean that being a manager is a bad thing. Quite the contrary, you need to have those skills down. Being a leader is a more refined version of it. Once you have the knowledge of the processes, once you have the knowledge of how things work, how they should be done, being a leader means incorporating the person's aspect into it. All of a sudden, you are not just someone who's telling you how to do your job, but it's someone who can treat you as an equal and see what your needs are, where you want to go, what your aims, what your definition of success is, and enable you to get there. That's for me the main difference, the personal perspective on things.
That was great. So how do someone develop leadership skills?
My wife tells me that I am quite terrible at marketing. And this is why. I think there is no other way than doing it. You can read books. You should read and study and keep on looking at new material and new ways of getting inspired on how to develop. But you need to do the job. You need to put the hours in and test things with your team. Make sure that they know what you're doing and you're making some mistakes as well. That is also fine as long as you do the job. And once you put the hours in, once you manage to grow your skills by practice, well, that's how you become a leader. It's a skill. So think of it as playing the piano. You don't suddenly come into this world knowing how to play the piano. You need to know the theory of music and you need to practice. Same thing. You need to know the theory of leadership. You need to study whatever is interesting for you and you need to put that into practice. There is no other way. And whoever is telling you that you can become a leader just by click and is selling you a course, that person is lying.
Absolutely. So how do you study leadership?
How do you study it?
Leadership.
Well, looking at books, looking around. I have personally found that the books that teach the most about leadership are the ones that teach the talk about psychology, applied psychology, communication mainly, empathy, emotional intelligence, how our brain works. All of those aspects are so much more relevant in everyday life than a theoretical book about leadership. So to make it into practice, an example of a book about leadership would discuss, the 8 leadership styles that you can adopt in different situations. Just I'm making this up, but it's something that you could encounter in a book. And that is great, but that is something mostly and most of the time theoretical that describes what leadership should like in different situations. However, when it comes to putting it in practice, what are you supposed to do? Learn all of that by heart and make and be able to shift leadership styles like a machine. That unfortunately doesn't work. So when you look at material that looks at communication, at emotional intelligence, at interactions with others, and at how people's brains work, that allows you to read your situation more, allows you to read other people in a more accurate way. And that can be a much stronger base on which to then mount leadership styles that you can adopt. It gives you a much more understanding, a much more accurate understanding of the environment you're in and the people that are in your environment.
Does environment affect leadership?
Could you specify the question?
Okay. The environment you're in obviously affects yourself. Does this thing affect your leadership skills?
I would say that your leadership skill, a major leadership skill, is being able to react to changes in your environment. So I think I would frame the question in a different way. Let me put it this way. We all have our environment can change in different ways. It can be very simple with very few factors impacting it, and with a very stable set of clients and of competitors. I'm looking at the work environment, of course. Or it can be something radically changing, different, having to do with extreme competition, hypergrowth, extreme uncertainty. So, of course, in order to perform in each one of these environments, you need maybe different styles. You need to set up a specific work culture that is also a whole different discussion, but something that would respond well to your environment and to how people want to behave. So, for example, if you are running a family business that is, let's say, a small business, maybe manufacturing, that is relying on solid personal relationships with clients and with suppliers that has been going on for generations, then your leadership style would be much more, I want to say soft, maybe it's not the right word, but much more personal, much more relationship focused. Whereas if you are in a hyper-competitive environment where competition is coming also internally to, you're fighting for a position of, for an upper position in the hierarchy against people that are working with you all the time, then your leadership style is probably going to be extremely competitive, cutthroat, looking at performance, looking at hard skills and forgetting emotional intelligence, perhaps. I don't particularly agree with that. But if your environment demands that you adopt a specific leadership style in order to succeed, then probably you should follow it. And if that doesn't resonate with you, then maybe it's time to shift careers.
Which leadership style is the best, according to you?
The leadership style that is the best is like asking what's the country with the best food. So the consultant's answer is the only one that I can give you, which is it depends. It depends on the environment, as we said. It depends on your own values. So why are you doing what you're doing? What's your purpose? Does the way you lead others and you treat people resonate with what drives you? So each one of us has a best leadership style that is adapted to both the environment, the people you're working with, your values, who you are, and your orientation in general. The difficult part in this is, of course, figuring out what it is and understanding which one or understanding how to shift to a different one. And the only way to do it, going back to the discussion we had before, is to keep on working, keep on studying, getting to know yourself, being self-aware about where you are, and only then shifting to or moving towards the leadership style that you need to adopt.
Okay, great one. Why emotional intelligence important in leadership?
Love that question. Love the question because emotional intelligence is a huge part of what I do. So I'm going to give you a practical example of this. When I was working as a consultant, I was lucky enough to enter the consulting world at a very high level, meaning that I was consulting with the European Commission as a client. And that working at that level managed to let me see the good sides of it and the bad sides of it, stuff you only see if you're working in the trenches. So the good sides of it was working with people that were so far beyond my skills. So extremely technical, extremely gifted in whatever they were doing with a deep knowledge of the industry, the processes, and so on. People that I could learn from, and I did learn from in at any step. But also what I did notice is that there was an utter lack most of the time of anything connected to emotional intelligence or soft skills at large. And being someone that was just merely basically interested in the topic, I noticed that by using some very basic skills, I still managed to outperform people that had many more years of experience than me in topics like persuasion, negotiation, interaction, communication, conflict resolution, speaking on stage, engaging others. And all of that gave me an extra, like a competitive advantage. So that is also one of the drivers that prompted me to shift away from my previous career and into this. And emotional intelligence is something that's been around for years, but it's something that I've seldom seen applied properly. And I've traced it down to a couple of specific reasons. First of all, is that the material that you have available right now is one of two types. The first one is either extremely theoretical and academic, which is great if that's what you're interested in, or there is a lot of quick consumption material online. So like the best three ways to get feedback or four ways to show empathy. So something that just gives you a snippet, but not really the whole process. And on the other hand, I have not seen a very practical hands-on process on how to develop emotional intelligence specifically targeted for leaders. So I actually, this is something that I've taken extremely personal, and I've written and published a book on emotional intelligence for leaders just to enable people to have a very brief, but very practical and still science-based guide on how to gain those advantages of emotional intelligence. And one of the things we miss about it is the fact that it's not an optional to have. People think that, sure, we need to have emotional intelligence, but first of all, we need to perform. We need to reach our goals, and no matter what. Once we reach them, then we can think about emotional intelligence, think about being friends, think about giving good feedback, and so on. However, that is wrong. If you look at the numbers, if you look at the studies, for example, if you look at whether people trust their leader and by proxy their company, you see that there are practical, tangible results on that derive from building trust via emotional intelligence. Just to give you numbers, hoping that they will shock you and everyone else as much as they shock me. Developing trust and having trust in your leadership and by proxy in the company determines 25% of how well your team performs, and shows that people that work in a high trust company have 150% more productivity levels. So this means that if you can follow two projects, then you can follow three projects. That's a lot. You have minus 13% risk of less sick days, minus 40% risk of burnout, and minus 76% stress levels. All of those are tangible. outcomes, with real impacts on the way your company works and the way your company performs. Or if you don't want to look at the company per se, you can look at your team. Those are the results. So that's the misconception about emotional intelligence in leadership. And that's why it's so key and so important to develop this point. I think I answered your question, but I think I went away on a loop. I hope that's fine. It's something I'm very passionate about.
How can someone measure their emotional intelligence? Or you can say, how do I know I have to develop my emotional intelligence?
Go on my website and look at the emotional intelligence test. I think we can leave a link on your podcast maybe below to it. It's a free test. And what happens there is you will find, first of all, 50 statements that apply to you. And you need to see, you need to click on how much you disagree or how much you agree with that statement. What this will do then, once you click enter, is going to make some calculations, and it will give you an output divided into. First of all, it will give you your general, let's say, rank or grade on emotional intelligence. And second, most importantly, it will give you a breakdown of the four areas of emotional intelligence and how you score in each one of them. Now, none of this is meant to be judgmental at any point. But what is meant to do is show you what area you might be missing out and what area you're already gifted in. So it will give you, it's meant to be taken as a guide on how to develop your emotional intelligence further. The key thing here is that there are four areas that build emotional intelligence. Self-awareness, so knowing what you're feeling exactly and why and what drives your feeling. Emotional control, so self-regulation, knowing how to influence what you're feeling, and that doesn't obey to logic. It obeys to a different set of rules. Then, third area, recognizing other people's emotional state. And fourth area, interacting and influencing their emotional state. Now, all of those four areas are, you will be able to assess in the via my test. And all of those four areas, very important aspect, are connected. So you will first, the stronger you are in the first area, so self-awareness, the stronger you will automatically be in the second one and in the third one and so on. So whatever results your test will give you, there is also going to be quite a strong description of them. It will help you shape the path ahead, give you some tips and ideas on where to go and what areas to focus on. And also, just to clarify, all of those questions are rooted in science. I don't do anything that is not scientifically proven. So anything that you want to double check, you have the references at the end of the test. You have all the papers that I have used to develop that study, that assessment, and you're free to check them out.
Okay. So how can someone develop their EQ or emotional intelligence?
By practicing and testing it out. As I said, there are four areas on this, right? First, the most important part is doing the job on yourself first. What is often uncomfortable is thinking about our own emotional state. Most of the time when we feel something, we just feel it, but don't really think about it. And let's say society at large has conditioned us to think that, or to make us feel uncomfortable about being in touch with our feelings. It makes us feel somehow weak, or makes us feel embarrassed or uneasy. And I get it. I understand where this may come from, but that is the right way to start. And what you can do, and is also part of the, it's actually one of the steps that I share in the book, is a couple of times a day, you can take a look at a couple of questions and answer them. Think about what you're feeling exactly and why, and try to be as specific as you can. If you're feeling sad, don't say sad. Are you feeling pessimistic, remorseful, resentful, angry, disappointed. All of those are different shades of sad, but with all very different meanings. And once you can pinpoint what it is, whatever language you're using, whatever meaning it has for you, try to figure out why you're feeling like that. What triggered that emotion specifically? And once you manage to do it, you will notice that A, it becomes more comfortable for you to think about your emotions, and you manage to understand more what is going on, what is driving your behavior in specific situations. Because if you are just nervous, snappy, unapproachable, aggressive as a leader with people in your office, that's not the right way to go. But if you don't know what is driving it, you cannot know what to do about it. So once you figure out what's driving this, what the reason is, then you can do something. And then you can be a better leader for your team. Otherwise, it won't. You don't even start. So if you want to start right now, think about what you're feeling exactly and why you're feeling this. And repeat this twice a day for a couple of weeks. You will notice a massive difference. It's a matter of practice.
What you're feeling and why you're feeling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Or was that a question for me?
Nah, that was not a question.
Okay, we'll just leave it. All right.
What is the one thing you wish someone told you during your career journey?
What is one thing that I wish someone told me during my career journey? I have a few questions. I have a few answers for this, but what I would say is I wish that someone had told me that I didn't know how to communicate well. Not me personally, but that a lot of us assume that we can communicate well just because we have communicated our whole life. And it's something that is a misconception most of the time. A lot of times we don't communicate decently, even in a work environment. We think of an answer before other people can react. We are trying to push our agenda rather than trying to listen to the point that other people are having. And all of this is what creates massive conflicts, what can sink the culture of a team, what makes misconceptions happen, and that builds up tension. So if anyone had told me that being able to communicate well is not a given, but it's an acquired skill, and someone had told me that I should rather look at that instead of looking at technical skills at some point in my career, that would have helped me quite a lot more, especially in the early stages of my career. I'm talking about before becoming a leader as well.
Actually, I believe I can't communicate that much well.
Well, I would say the best thing you can do is read. I don't know if I have it at hand. It's this book here. It's called If I Could Understand You, Would I Have This Look on My Face? It's a book by Alan Alda. He's also a fairly famous Hollywood actor, and he's done a massive exploration on communication. And I encourage you to pick that up and read it. It will open up quite a few interesting areas for you to explore in how you communicate and how you present. So I would say if you want something quick and easy to do, get the book and read it. It's a very fun and very easy read, and I cannot suggest it enough.
I will definitely read that book. Okay, we are almost at the end. What's your advice for the people who have just started their business?
My advice for people who just started their business. That nobody cares about you, about what you do, about your background. Nobody cares. That's the biggest lesson I had to learn on my own skin as I started my business. Nobody cares about how much effort you put in developing their product. Nobody cares about what your journey has been, what you've done. People only care about what you can do for them. And that's the only thing they want to know. So unless you know exactly who your people, who your customers are, what they want, and what you can do for them, and what you can tell, how you can tell them, how you can reach them, well, don't do anything else. Focus on understanding them first. And everything else, what, who you are, your journey, or so on, sure, can be on your website, can be something done later on, but I've noticed that on myself. And had I put more effort in this, I would have had an easier start. This would be my advice, and the only one I would give to people starting off their business beforehand.
That's a great advice. Okay, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can find me, first of all, on my website, that is ebz-coaching.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram. I'm fairly active there as well. If you want, you can listen to my podcast. It's called Snippets of Leadership. And probably we can link to all of this in the episode. And just honestly, feel free to reach out to me. I'll be very happy to engage with you on social media, on email, and however you wish.
Okay, that's how we end it.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great pleasure to engage with you and with your audience like this.
It's my honor to have you on my show. Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button. And if you're listening this on Apple Podcast, please leave a review. This will really help us to make our future episodes better. Have a question in mind? Go to sonofmercy.co/ask and submit your question. We see every submission and we might answer it in the next episode. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you on Tuesday and Thursday. Have a great week.